Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you thanksgiving. Father, we pray, oh God, even now that you have your way in the service today, at this time that we are gathered together. Father, to love you, to honor you, and to thank you, Father. May your Holy Spirit lead us. May your Holy Spirit guide us. May your Holy Spirit, God, be with us as we endeavor to speak your word this day. Hide us once again behind the cross of Calvary, that Jesus Christ alone be seen in this place. And Father, we thank you. We praise you for all that you're doing and all that you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. While you're turning over to Psalm 145, I forgot to mention earlier, just in case you're asked, I did mention it. I want us to pray for Francis King this evening as well. Francis has been in the hospital since Friday. Had a very bad breathing spell. Had to take her to the hospital by rescue squad. And she's hanging in there. She's fine. Just going to take a little time to get over it. And pray for Terry. He had hip replacement surgery. And he needs all the prayers that we can give to them as well. Amen. If you will, again, turn to Psalm 145. I know that we've mentioned part of these verses to you before, but I want today to be a reflection. You know, that is one of the hardest things for a preacher. It's not preaching necessarily, it's knowing what to preach, and then knowing that it's what God wants for that moment. And actually yesterday, to be totally honest with you, I had something else totally planned for this morning, and when I came today, and then through the morning hours of my sleeping, the Lord began to deal with me about this particular subject and about this. And so I want to talk about a few things here this evening concerning how great is our God. Has God done anything for anybody in this room today? Can you look back over your life? Can you see the fingerprint of God over the pages of your life? Could you ask yourself the question today, where would I be today if it had not been for Jesus? Amen. We want to talk about some of those things this morning, or this afternoon rather. Psalm 145. I'm only going to read verses 1 through 3, and actually this psalm extends all the way down through verse 21. We might mention a few of those other verses as well, but I wanted to read basically verses 1 through 3. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. As I begin to think about this particular subject today and what I would be saying here today, my mind went back to a certain song that we have heard sung here many, many times before. I can't help but to, Amy, think about Shana when I think about the song, How Great Thou Art. The words of that song, it says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds that thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, power throughout the universe displayed. And then the refrain and the chorus on that says, then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And then the ending of it, it repeats that several times. How great thou art. And then he says, how great thou art. And that is a reflection this evening of how God is good. I don't know about you, but again, when I preach, I have to preach with my feelings and my emotion and how it runs through my grinder, if you will. But I think that's one of the things that we are so lacking in the church today, is to understand and how that we could praise God and magnify God and glorify His name for all of the benefits that He, the Bible says, that He loadeth us down daily with benefits. Amen. My mind also went back to my childhood years. Even, I know they say different prayers today than they did even when I was in school. Some of the kindergartens and some of the preschools and daycares, they do a little prayer over their meal, and it says, God our Father, God our Father. But yet the one I learned when I was a kid, and even in school before we would go into the lunchroom in elementary school, guess what we did? We would pray in our classroom prior to going into the cafeteria and the lunchroom. And our teacher oftentimes would stand in front of the room and she would say, God is good and God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. It was a reflection of the goodness of our God. Again, when we think about being great, we think about good is kindly a status quo. If we settle for good, we'll never understand the great. I remember John Bevere writing a book about that. I don't have the book, I don't think, but in the book, in the understanding of the book, and he talks about how that we just look at God as good. Well, Sherry can fix a good meal. We look at our cars, we got a good car. We look at situations, we got a good situation. But I think we get stuck right there. Now that's me. If you was preaching, you could preach it a different way. If I think sometimes we just get stuck in a rut. Anybody been in a rut lately? I know that right now with everything that we have been going on, I told my mom earlier, I said, it just seems like I've kind of just been in a lull here lately. But then I get to thinking about the greatness of God, and I think about how good that God has been to you and how good that God has been to me. It's a reflection of our heart when we think about the goodness of God. We think about the fact that our God is an omniscient God. Everywhere and everything in the universe was created by the hand of God. He's an all-knowledgeable God. He knows it all. He's an omnipresent God. He's everywhere, and He's omnipotent. He's an all-powerful God. And we think about the songs that we sing. Oftentimes we sing the song, and we've sung it here at the church so many times. How great is our God. May I challenge us today, myself included. May we begin to stop and pause long enough in our own life to look around and see if we can see anything great about God in the day and the hour that we're living in. One of the things I told Sherry coming over here, I said, I miss a prayer meeting. I miss being able to have a prayer meeting and people come together. We don't have an agenda. The only agenda on the table at that time is to go after God and get after God with all of our heart, because God is so good. And my friend, let me just submit unto you this evening that we will not make it without God. I don't know how good you think you are, or how talented you think you are, how gifted you think you are. The truth of the matter is that everybody in this room, we need God today. We need God to help us. I remember back in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, how that there was a great move of God that was moving throughout the land. And again, different people have had different experiences, and a lot of people may have said it was no more than a fad. And to be honest with you, a lot of it might have been kind of faddish at the time. But I believe that people had a pure heart and they were going after God. I remember the stories and services and things that I know that I too was a part of at that time a little bit. The how that there was a move of God in Brownsville that was coming out of Pensacola area at the Brownsville Assembly of God with Pastor John Kilpatrick. I remember the moves and the waves of God that was happening all throughout the land. I remember a move of God in Kansas City and another one up in Toronto and different places like that. It seemed like that there was pockets of fire all over the United States of America, and people were getting refilled and filled with the power of God. And there was an awakening that was happening in the church, and we found ourselves moving out of that lull and moving out of that state of existence unto the fact that the people got hungry after God, and there was a desire for revival. There was a a move of God along the land. I submit unto you, the Bible said in Psalm chapter 85 and verse number 6, it's a question before the psalmist today, and he said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And the very thing that's in my heart this morning or this afternoon, I'm simply saying, God, let us know your goodness. Let us know the greatness of God. I promise you. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. And I promise you, you will never experience a move of God in your life. And I won't neither until we get so hungry after God that nothing else on this earth satisfies us. Until the old time preacher would say, until we get under the spout where the glory is running out. Amen. And I'm saying, God, send revival upon us one more time. Oh, God, send revival upon us. How great is our God? We sing a song, we've sung it here at the church many times. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the banner, let the anthems raise. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. I wish somehow or another that we could somehow move beyond just existence. Somehow or another move beyond this status quo, which means to be enough. Somewhere along this journey that the Thomasville Church of God, right here where we're at, that we would get so hungry for God that the Bible said in the book of John that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, let that river flow one more time in your life and in my life today. I pray that God would do this. We look at this again and we think about the psalmist and what the psalmist was doing. In verse number 1 of our text, he opens it up like this. He says in Psalm 145 and verse 1, again, the psalmist is making a declaration. He is declaring. Somebody says, you don't have to decree. You don't have to declare. He's declaring among the nations. He's declaring among those that would hear him. I believe we do need to declare. I believe we do need to speak loudly and clearly and plainly today of the goodness of our God and the greatness of our God. It's so easy to get down, and it's so easy to be just to get down in the dumps, so to speak. And it's so easy for our verbiage and our words. I've been there, folks. I know what I'm talking about. It's so easy for our verbiage and our language to just get so humdrum and so negative. It's so easy for us to be overtaken and overcome with the fears of this life. It's so easy for us to get our eyes off of God and to get our eyes on the situations and the circumstances around us. Oftentimes when we feel down, we think that God is down. If we're up, we think God is up. Can I tell you today that God is forever the same? Amen. That God rules and God reigns. And I submit unto you today when the psalmist says, I will extol thee, my God. What is he saying? He was saying simply this, and I love this. When I looked this up this morning, when I was studying and redoing the message for the day, I was thinking about this scripture. I was thinking about this verse. He says, I will extol thee. You come to church today and you might get somebody that says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's not him. That's not the psalmist. Oh, I pray that God pour the fire. You say, well, preacher, this is a Sunday afternoon at 2:00. Maybe we need to have more 2:00 services. Maybe, I don't know. You're more awake, right, at 2:00 in the afternoon. But I'm saying, God, we need the fire. We need the fire of God. And when you look at this, he says, I will extol thee. What does that mean? When he says this word exalt or extol thee, what does it mean? And look at this. It says, and you can go back and you can look at this, and it says it means to praise enthusiastically. People think we're a nut today if we say hallelujah or praise the Lord or God hallelujah. People think you're absolutely losing your brain. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If God has done anything for you, I was reading earlier where the psalmist, I don't remember exactly where it was at. I was reading through the Psalms and where the psalmist, and it's the Psalm of David. were that David was saying that God had lifted me up out of the miry clay. He planted my feet. He put my feet on the rock. Amen. When you think about what God has done for you, when you think about where you could be right now, when you think about your life as you look back over your life and the things that God has kept you from and the things that God has done in order to get you to where you're at today, my friend, we ought to be praising God enthusiastically, if you will. We ought to magnify Him and glorify Him and praise His name for what He's done. Again, it looks at praise, and it says here again, to praise very highly is what it means. We're going to jump around a little bit. Psalm 146, he actually opens up there in verse number 1, and he says these words. We're going to be in the Psalms most of the day. And he says in Psalm 146 and verse number 1, he says, praise. I like that, don't you? Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Amen. When you think about this, we think about where he says again, praise the Lord. And he says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, my soul. What is that? That is with everything within you, your emotion. You put something into it. It means something to you. It cost you something. The woman that opened up the alabaster box and she began to pour that on the face of Jesus. Why did they say this is nothing more than a waste? This could have been taken and been sold and given to the poor. Judas was looking and saying, look at the waste here. Oh, he missed the very thing that she was doing when she broke open that alabaster box and the aroma. Oh, praise has an aroma to it. I promise you, if you get on fire and you get to praising God, I guarantee you, when you loosen up a little bit and you begin to praise the Lord, I guarantee you that person next to you is going to feel what you feel. And before long, I'm telling you, the whole house of God is feeling the glory and the praises of God. And then it becomes the norm in the house instead of the exception. We ought to be a people of praise. I know there's those old naysayers and those old stumps and those old knots on the logs that says, oh, it don't take all that emotionalism, preacher. You don't need all that. I guarantee you, you're emotional. You hit your thumb with a hammer, watch what you do. I guarantee you, you're emotional. Somebody walk up and hand you a check. Somebody walk up and put money in your hand. Somebody do something for you that's unexpected. Oh, there'll be a big grin come on your face. Don't tell me you're not emotional. It's the things that you value is the things that you'll be emotional about. The psalmist said again, praise ye the Lord. Is God worthy of praise? Think about it. Is He worthy of all praise? Amen. You know what? We ought to praise Him intentional. Well, what has He done for me, preacher? It's not about what He's done for you. It's because of who He is. And there's a song that says, I preach and I think in rhythms and songs when I preach sometimes. It's just because of who you are, Lord. It's just because of who you are. Because of who you are. If Jesus is who we say Jesus is, we ought to be the most praising people on earth. We ought to be glorifying His name. We ought to be magnifying His name. When you look in Psalm 146 in verse number 2, he says this in the Word. And again, he says, while I live. How many of you know the Bible says the dead praise not the Lord? And that's not just talking about the physical dead as much as it's talking about the spiritual dead. The dead praise not the Lord. And the psalmist said, while I live, while I have breath, while I have my being, while I have my faculties, while I'm able, while I can, I'm not going to waste my time on something that don't have an eternal impact. I'm going to praise God from the rising of the sun, I've said it before, to the going down of the same. I'm going to praise His name. We ought to wake up in the morning. You say, well, preacher, maybe you wake up of the morning feeling that way, but I just don't feel that way of the morning. I tell you one thing, if you wake up on Monday morning before your feet hit the floor, and if you'll say a hallelujah or a praise
praise the Lord. If you wake up on Tuesday morning and you're before your feet hit the floor and you say, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. And you practice that on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Before long, it's going to be the norm for you. And before you hit the floor in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, you're going to have a hallelujah on your lips. You're going to have a praise the Lord on your lips. Why? Because you have understood the goodness of our God. It's a reminder. He says this again in verse number 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. Are you breathing? You ought to be praising God. I'm not going to go to the latter part of the Psalms. I ain't got time to go to Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. I don't have time for that today. But you can go back this week and read it, but it says, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise. When I think about God's greatness, when I think about what God has done, we ought to be praising Him. Again, He says, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Thank God He woke you up this morning in the right mind. He gave us the ability to open up our lips and to sing praises unto Him. Look in Psalm 96. We're going to go there. I told you I was going to be in the Psalms here this morning or this afternoon. We're singing some Psalms today. Psalm 96, verse 1 says it like this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. There it is. Declare. Declare His glory. Speak of His glory. Declare His glory. Say it. He says, declare His glory among the heathen, the unbelievers, the doubters, the pouters, and those that don't believe. He says, say God's name. Declare His name. And then He says, His wonders among all people. And then He says, for the Lord is great. Say that with me. For the Lord is great. One more time. For the Lord is great. We ought to fold our Bibles and go to the house. And we've had church today because somebody's told us something. God is great. We need to understand that. God is omniscient, omnipresent. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. James says in Him there's no variableness or shadow of turning. What He was to Abraham, He is to us. He's the same. And I tell you what, friend, we are wasting time when we don't praise God. And maybe this message is for nobody but me. But we need to be praising God daily. While we have our being, while we're alive, while we have our faculties, while we have the abilities to sing unto Him. And then verse 4 again says, for the Lord is great and greatly, greatly, enthusiastically. You say, preacher, I don't take all that. Oh, I'm an introvert. I'm just quiet. I don't listen. I understand that. I'm not going to argue that point. She's an introvert at one time. I was an introvert at one time. Trust me, I know. But yet there's something about getting in the presence of God that we can just shake off those heavy bands. We can shake off that stuff. Amen? We can just shake it off. You say, well, now you're getting into emotionalism. Now you're saying that everything is based on emotion. No, everything's not based on emotion. But sitting still and sitting quiet. And I'm not saying out of order. I'm not saying out disorder. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm talking about who God is. That it's time that the church acknowledge who He is. It says, for the Lord is great. And it don't have anything else after that that says, and He changes. He is great. God is great. You say, well, preacher, what about this in my life? What about COVID right now? Hey, I thought about this earlier in the week. I thought, you know, they've been diseases and pestilence and things all the way back as long as they've been humanity. I mean, I was telling Sherry earlier today, I said, I remember as a kid, and I'll quit meddling in a minute and start preaching again. I remember as a kid, my mom taking me to the doctor.
I remember sitting in the doctor's office just trembling and shaking, so cold and aching and hurting all over. My throat so sore I couldn't even swallow, strep throat or whatever it might have been. I don't know if they called it flu back then or what, but I must have had something bad that was a plague way back in the day. And you know what? They've always been those things. And people in their mind right now, they're just thinking, oh, things are so horrible and things are so terrible. And I don't know how we're going to make it. And I'm not belittling and I'm not trying to say that things are not difficult right now. But you can praise Him in the storm. I think there's a song about that. You can praise Him through the storm. My mind goes back to Peter where that they were there and Jesus, they was in the middle of an attempt. The storm had come and a great storm had come up and they were all there and the ship was rocking and rolling and Peter and the boys on the ship, they got all nervous and they began to cry out, oh God, oh Lord, do you not even care that we perish? Where was Jesus? He was in the ship with them, right? But where was He at? He was in the bow or in the bottom of the ship, if you will, with His head on a pillow. But it was not until they cried out to Him. And once they cried out to Him, Jesus again calmed the storm and He spoke peace over their heart and over their life. And I believe the same thing will happen to you and the same thing will happen to me when we begin to acknowledge the greatness of our God. And He says, and greatly to be praised. Is God worthy of your praise? Amen. Practice praise. That's what I used to tell folks all the time. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Again, when we look at this psalm in verses number 4 moving forward, He says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, little g. And He says, for all the gods of the nations are idols. And the Lord hath made the heavens. Look in verse number 6. And He says, honor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty in His sanctuary. When you read all the way through this, and he talks about the glory of God and the goodness of God. And He says, again in verse number 8, give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. And bring an offering and come to His courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. You know what God wants is an offering. You say, He wants my money. No, way before God ever wants your money, God wants your mouth. God wants your heart. God wants you to bring an offering of praise. And I don't have time to go there, but it's another song that says, I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter into His courts with praise, or into His house, I mean. And He says that in Psalm 100. It's a psalm song, and we see that. How long has it been? How long has it been since we all looked at God and we begin to glorify Him for who He is? He says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. In other words, what we need to do in our lives, and again, this is just me, how I feel, we need to get our focus again. The last 2 weeks, our services have been altered and our services has not been as they normally have been. And sometimes it's easy to get kind of just in a lull, if you will. But we need to get our focus again. Those that's drifted away, you can return to the Lord. If you've lost sight of who of the Lord and His greatness, maybe circumstances has told you other than the fact that God is great. Maybe you're here today and again reminding us that maybe you've lost your hope today, that God is the God of hope. And maybe you've lost your strength today. My mind goes back to the scripture. I'm not going to turn there. But it says that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Amen. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be weary. Run and not faint. Jason Crabb has a song that says, run on. God will give you the strength. Paul said, if I have hope only in this world, I'm above all men most miserable. We have a hope in Him. Our circumstances will oftentimes dictate to us how we feel. And then sometimes we lose our vision. We lose our sight of the goodness of our God. And sometimes our heart has drifted away. So what do we do in our greatness of God? First of all, we just acknowledge His greatness through our praise. We don't praise Him just because we feel it. We praise Him because the Bible has already told us that we are to praise the Lord. Again, I'm not going to turn there to the latter book of Psalm, but it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So how do we overcome this? We acknowledge the greatness of our God through praise. The Bible says again, I will bless His name forever and forever. Jesus taught His disciples to pray. There's a few little short verses in Matthew chapter number 6. And this is a prayer starting in verse number 9, going down through verse 13, that Jesus actually taught His disciples how to pray. And in this, the first thing that He did, He taught them about our Father. He taught them how to honor the Father, how to glorify the Father. We've even taught our children this in school as well. I remember doing this in school. But He teaches us the goodness of God and how that God has brought the qualities that He alone deserves our praise. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. He says in verse 10, and just roll on through there. And He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you about this one. They sang the song, Kayla led the song earlier. And all the beings and all the elders and all those that's in heaven, even right now, according to the book of Revelation, there is an anthem of a hallelujahs and a glory to God. When the 24 elders, they took their crowns and they threw them before His feet. And they declared Him worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord our God. We sing the songs, but that's as far as we go. We practice singing those songs over and over. We know the rhythm. We know the songs. We know the words. But have they got into our heart yet? Until they get into our heart, they're nothing more than just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just a gong. It don't mean nothing. And my prayer is, Almighty God, let the words that we speak today, let them seep into our heart. That we know and understand when we leave this place today that God is our great God. And if you've never met Him, if you've never given your heart to God, if you've never had a God encounter, my prayer today is that you, my friend, would have a God encounter before you leave this place today. Again, when we think about this, He says, thy will be done in earth. They're singing praises to God in heaven. So if they're singing praises to God in heaven, there ought to be praises unto God on earth. If God is great in heaven, and He is, I declare before you today that God is still great on this earth. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, there's a declaration over this church. There's a declaration over your life today that just simply reiterates and it says that God is great. Hallelujah. Why don't we give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. If you believe that today, bless His name forevermore. Verse number 11, here He says these words. He said, give us this day our daily bread. A total dependence on God for our daily bread. Verse 12, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. One more verse. And then He says, and lead us not into temptation. Somebody says, I don't need God to lead me into temptation. I can get in enough trouble by myself. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen, amen, and amen. When we think about God, we think about God's provision. We think about our daily bread. We think about His daily greatness. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily greatness. How He has blessed us. Even in what we would associate as a meager supply. When we stop and think about it. Think about how good God has been to you. And how good God has been to me. Again, the psalmist reminds us in several different places of the psalm. Primarily he says there again, while I have my being, I will bless your name. While I live. Psalm 104 reminds us this as well. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Oh Lord, again, when you look at this, he says, oh Lord my God, thou art, now look at this word, very great. Has God done anything for anybody in this room? Amen. He says here, God is very great, and thou art clothed with honor and majesty. I think about this, and I look at this, and it says in verse number 2, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. My mind couldn't help, and this ain't got anything to do with the message. It just simply, when I thought about this, it says that he covers thyself with light. I thought about Paul on the road to Damascus when the light came down as a noonday sun, brighter than the noonday sun. Jesus showed up and he lightened up the way for Paul the apostle. And he says this, he covers thyself with light as with a garment who stretcheth out the heavens. Again, I know Jesus said that he's the light of the world. He's the one that'll show you the path whereby we are taken. It takes God today to do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. So I look this word up, bless. What does it mean? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, I will bless the Lord. What does it mean? It means to bow forward. Bless is to bow before. It means to bend before. Is what it means. It means to bend. I remember reading the word, and I didn't turn there. I thought about it when I was writing the outline, but I thought to myself where the Bible says over in the book of, I think it's Philippians along through there, and he says at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And it describes things over the earth, under the earth. And that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I thought about that. And I thought about how that there are these people today that are so stubborn and hard-headed. And they're so set in their ways. I'll never bow my knee before anybody. I'm my own man. I grew up listening to that mess. I grew up listening to that. The Bible tells me that even the worst of sinners and the most hard-headed knothead, I like that word, knothead. You say, what's a knothead? Right there is a knothead. I got one right there. Every hard-headed knothead, stubborn will, you think, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I've dealt with people like that. I've seen them all my life blow their chest out and blow their jaws out and look at you like they could run through you. But you know what the Bible says? Or Steve, I got two Steves on this side now. Every knee will bow. Every knee. Revelation says that every knee will bow, and the Bible says that they'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then at that time, he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But Jesus is still going to be confessed. He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I knew you not. I'd a whole lot rather have an encounter with God now than an encounter with God after I die. How about you? And that was free. That wasn't in my notes nowhere. I just felt like I needed to say that part. Psalm 104, bless the Lord. It means to bow before Him. Again, this is not in my notes nowhere, but I just think about His honor and His majesty. I remember earlier when I was thinking about this, that back in the early 2000s and 99 and 2000 and some of the great revivals that was going on, I too tiptoed into that. And I too got my whistle wet, so to speak. That's a mountain term. I too encountered such a move of God back there in that day. I remember telling Herman Tony, he's passed on, went on to glory. I was standing at a certain church with Brother Tony and a couple of other preachers, and I looked at him. I said, I'm going to tell you something.
The power of God was so strong in that place where we were at that it was like just being saved all over again. I couldn't help but to think about the feeling of salvation and how that God took an old country boy, even at my young age, that I promise you, if God had not have saved me when He saved me because of what I was around and where I was at and the environment that I grew up in and was around, Brother Steve, there's no telling where I would be. There's no telling. So when I think about His goodness, when I think about His greatness, when I think about what God has done, hey friend, you and I, we ought to be the first ones to praise Him. We ought to be magnifying Him. But I couldn't help but to think again, and I know I'm rambling a little bit right there, because I feel that stirring in my soul. I feel it in my heart today. A stirring of that same thing that I experienced way back in the day, a feeling of revival. Desiring a move of God and desiring God to do something in my life. Can I just say it the way I feel it? I'm tired of watching YouTube videos of other people experiencing the power of God and me sitting on a stump, not on a log like a stump, and me not experiencing that glory of God for myself. I can't tell you how many times I've got this phone out and I've looked at a YouTube video and people would be singing and praising God and they would be experiencing an outpouring of God. And Brother Steve, me sitting there and going, I wish I could feel that. I mean, you've talked about that. I wish I could feel that. You know, some of us hide our pain real good, don't we? We put this mask on, don't we? Like we're on top of the world. Like we ain't got a care in the world. I do what I do by faith. I don't always feel like preaching. I don't always feel Holy Ghost goosebumps running up and down my spine and the hair sticking up on the back of my head. I don't wake up in the morning speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's a struggle every day just to get a praise off your lips. Don't look at me like that. And I'm praying that God would come into this room. I'm praying that God would start with me. When you run out of somebody to pray for, you pray for me and Sherry. If you can't think of nobody else to pray for, you just say, sick him, God. Sick him. Get him. Go get him. Don't let him rest. Get him, God. Go after him. Don't let him rest till he sees your glory. Don't let him rest until he gets back in his prayer room. Don't let him rest until the glory of God is in his life again. You say, is it gone? No, it is not gone, but I know the difference. I know the difference, Brother Steve. The reason I say that, I've been under the unction and being under the anointing and living under the unction, living under the anointing and going through those saddened places and those dry places. And then you wonder, there's another Steve. You wonder if there's even a God anymore. Come on, somebody. You say, well, preacher, thank you, Bob. You're one of my heroes. Thank you. Been there and done that. And the rest of you that's looking at me and Bob and grinning, you've been there too. And the only thing that's going to break the back of the enemy is for you and I to praise our way through when we understand the greatness of who God is. And we quit adhering to everything that all the naysay and the negativism. I might be going through the valley, but thank God He's a lily of the valley. I might be going through, but the psalmist said, hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You got one with you today that'll stick closer to you than a brother. Hallelujah. Let me wrap this up. First of all, we acknowledge the simple fact of the greatness of God through our praise. Again, Psalm 104 and 33, I will sing unto the Lord, and as long as I live, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Number two, we think of it as simply this. And I've already said this, but I'm going to say it in a different way. We are to acknowledge Him every day, everywhere, because He alone is worthy to be praised. when Jesus in Luke 19, we can turn to Luke 19 real fast, and he says in verses 37 through 40, when I do that, I'm actually telling Kathy where I'm going. That's my secret. But let me paraphrase this, and then I'll get into it. When Jesus came in Matthew, I looked it up in Matthew 2. It was at the triumphant entry. When they were there and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were glorifying God and magnifying God. They had the palm branches and they were glorifying God and they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Which again in the Aramaic, that means save us and help us now. Really what it says, help us now, save us. And all the Pharisees was there and they said, oh, tell them to be quiet. Shh. And then you pick this up in 37, and this is what he says. He said, and when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the mountain of Olives, and the whole multitude, the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and all the mighty works that they had seen. They were glorifying God. They were magnifying God. They were expressing themselves openly, and they were rejoicing in everything that they had seen God do. Look at verse 38. And he says, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Look at this next verse. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thee disciples. Tell them just to sit down somewhere and be quiet. Wait your turn. There ain't time for all this. Don't take all that, preacher. Don't take all that loud praise. It don't take Chris Hewitt beating them cymbals back there to death. Praise him on the cymbals, the high sounding cymbals. There you go. There's your Bible verse. They don't take all that. Getting quiet in here. That's the way it is in Episcopal or one of these other places. Just nice and quiet. It's not the way we're supposed to do it. Because the Bible says we're to praise God. We're to glorify God. And I ain't making fun of the Episcopals. I don't even know no Episcopals. Can't even hardly say it. I ain't making fun of nobody. Don't send me an email. And those that's watching online, save your stamp. I'll just throw it in the trash anyway. I don't open unknown letters. No, I'm just kidding. You get the point. And they said, just rebuke the disciples. They don't need to be praising God. They don't need to be loud. That's not loud, ain't even the point. They saw something in him that the other people didn't see. See, when we glorify God, we magnify God. And I'm going to pick on this brother, Steve. And what God's done for him brought him this time last year off of the deathbed. That had already had a death sentence over his life. That had already called palliative care in and told his wife, make funeral arrangements. This guy ain't going to make it. And he's went through, sorry if I get too out there, this guy's went through pure, you know what, after that, and the battle after that, and the things that he deals with after that. If you tell a man to be quiet when God's brought him through a victory, you know, Wednesday night, I really didn't get into it. Hey, what time am I supposed to quit on the Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock? Whenever, thank you, Brother Beckner. But you know what? Wednesday night, I really stopped too quick. I didn't know what was going on, but I finally figured it out. But anyway, I was talking about how that the children of Israel went into Jericho. You know the story. And how that they were there, and 6 days they walked around that wall. 6 days, didn't say a word, just walked. Walked. We're getting tired of walking, but we're going to keep walking. I don't understand why God's got me at this place that I'm in right now, but I'm just going to be faithful where I'm at. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. While I'm walking, I'm going to be faithful. I don't understand. And then on the seventh day, the Bible says, walk around it 7 times and then shout unto God with a loud shout. And then when they begin to shout and praise God, the Bible said the walls fell down flat. They didn't go this way. From my understanding, archaeological people have found where they went straight down into the ground. And then the children of Israel was able to go in and take the city. I remember Gideon, how that they had came up against the Amalekites, I believe it is, and how that they had a lamp, and they had a little horn or something, and then they were to shout unto the Lord that the sword of the Lord of Gideon, and they shouted, and they broke the pitchers, and they give God the glory, and God wrought a great victory, where Gideon thought he needed 32,000. I think it got down, help my memory, it got down to just like a few hundred, like 300 people or something. 300, wasn't it? And then they overtook the Amalekites. I mean, that praise sent confusion among their captives. I remember a friend of mine named Scott King, he told a story one time. They were in Africa. They were on a mission trip. And the people that was there, the bush people that was there, they were going to come in and take and assault the people and shut down that meeting. But the closer the tribesmen got to that tent, the louder it got and the louder it got. It sounded like they were hundreds upon hundreds of people inside of that tent. They were in there clapping their hands. They were in there glorifying God. And when the tribesmen began to hear that, they came to their wise decision that there was more of them in there than there were for them out here. And they left. And Scott tells the story of how that there wasn't but about 20 people or 15 people or something in that tent or in that place. But it seemed like it was thousands. It seemed like it was hundreds. And you know what? Your praise, my praise, when we begin to exalt God, when we begin to glorify God, when we begin to praise God, guess what, my friend? It sends an ambush against the enemy. It destroys the plan of the enemy. Every day we're to praise God. Look at this next verse. He says in verse number 40, he said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the rocks, the stones, earth, heaven, nature. I love spring of the year. I've adapted to snow because I live here. But I love it about 85 degrees, sweat dripping off my face, t-shirts. I just like it when it's... Now, this past summer, it got really, really hot. And I did say, I'll be glad when it cools down a little bit. I did say that. I like warm... I love spring of the year. I love it when, about February, because they come out early. I don't know the names of these little yellow flowers. These little old yellow flowers that's come up out of the ground and daffahoos? Okay, whatever they said. I see these little yellow flowers coming up and the landscape, the yards begin to turn green, leaves begin to bud, and everything starts coming to life again. You say, well, preacher, we're in the middle of winter. You might be in the winter time of your life too. Like Tim Hill sings the song, and it'll rain again. It's going to rain again, Brother Steve. It's going to rain again. It's been a season. Pastor Green, it's been a season. It's just been a season. Somebody says, I wish it'd hurry up and get over with the season. And I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. So what are we to do, Pastor? Praise Him. Glorify Him every day, every hour. And he said, if these around here don't praise God, he says again, he says the stones would cry out immediately. If you go back to our text in Psalm 145, I want to share these few little nuggets with you. Verse number 2, he says, every day, not just on Sunday. If you've only got Sunday religion, you're not going to make it through the storm. You're never going to experience this revival. You're never going to experience the glory of God the way that God... And I'm not saying, I want you here on Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying that a little bit of Brill Cream religion, you know, that ain't going to... Little dabble do you, that ain't going to work out too good. But if you'll get in your head, and if I get in my head, Every day, say that with me. Every day will I bless thee. Say it again. Every day will I bless thee. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, it makes me want to shout. That old song we used to do at youth camp. Shout, 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 shout. Boy, if we done that one in here on a Sunday morning, it'd go up in smoke, wouldn't it? Oh, why are you saying that, preacher? Because in youth camp, when we was in youth camp, when I think about his goodness and all he's done to me, it makes me want to dance. Dance, 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 dance all night. Then we go into this other one, I can't do it real good, that he says, when I think about his goodness and all he's done for me, it makes me want to spin. David danced before the Lord. I can't do that much. I'll have vertigo a week. But listen, when David danced before the Lord, Michal looked out the window and said, you foolish man, what are you doing that for? You're foolish, just dancing before all the girls. You're foolish. And David looked back and said, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. I wish I'd have one of those, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now I'm going to meddle. You've allowed me to share my heart today, okay? I'm going to meddle a minute. But some of you will shake your head at me and say, I remember, preacher. And I'm not saying it takes all that. I'm just saying, Sandra, that things happened back then and people got set free and people got delivered. I mean, we would come into churches and we would just have a Holy Ghost hoedown. I mean, people would get delivered. Some in the altar over here praying. Some get in the field with the Holy Ghost here. You got another one over here rejoicing and praising God. I mean, it was like God was moving all over the house. And people would leave and they would be refreshed. People would leave and they'd say, my, my, my. Wasn't that a move of God? Wasn't that an awesome service? Today, we think, well, I hope that wildfire don't get out in that place. Pastor Green's going to have his hands full. If that gets out in that? You know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm saying, God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Every day, I will bless his name. Verse 2. He says that in our text. Every day, I will bless thee. I got a challenge for you. And the challenge is simple. Every day this week, there's going to be all kinds of obstacles come our way. Trust me, I know that. But let's find something good to praise God about every day this week. Look at God's greatness every day. So we acknowledge Him every day. And then we got to understand. And I skipped over a little bit, but we got to understand something. It's been God's greatness, God's goodness, that's did this for you and for me. When you look at Jesus in the New Testament, when Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross, he says this in the Word. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And the reason I said that, because he shared his great love on you and me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. My question is this: has God done anything for anybody in this room? And again, we just acknowledge him as being our great God, and we praise him. We glorify him. We magnify him. Now, I cannot do anything but coach you and say, you know what? This is what we need to do, but it's up to our hearts to do it. I need to do it. Hello? I'm determined to do it. You say, well, preacher, you don't know where I've been lately. No, I don't. These people in this room that's went through far more things than I have, I know that, and I could pinpoint things that I know, but I won't. But you're here today, aren't you? You're here today praising God and magnifying God. We have to praise Him through it all. I want you to stand with me. Martha and them sing a song, because of who you are. Just because of who you are. Amen. Let's just take just a moment or two. And I want us to reflect. Because this psalm, part of this psalm was, there's a reflection in the psalm. It's in the latter part of that psalm, down in it. But it talks about the meditation. You think, well, we don't meditate in the church. That's for something in Eastern mysticism. No, our problem is we don't meditate enough. We don't take the time to think and to pause and to think about. That's why that word Selah is in a psalm. It means to pause and think about it. We need to pause and think about it. If God's done anything for anybody in this room, let's just praise Him for a minute and thank Him. Father, I thank You, oh God, even now. I thank You, God, because You have shown us Your greatness. God, You have spread Your greatness upon this church. You have spread Your greatness upon this congregation. Father, You have multiplied over and over and abundantly. You have blessed us greatly. And Father, we pause in this service and we say to You this evening, thank You. Thank You, mighty God, for being so good to us, for Your mercy endures forever. Father, what could we do? We could never give You enough praise. We could never give You enough thanks. We could never give You enough honor. We could never do that. But Father, because of who You are, we give You praise. Father, I thank You, God, for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. God, that You've bestowed upon us, Your people. Lord, we love You today and we thank You. We thank You for Your visitation. We thank You, Father God, for being with us here today. We thank You, God, for the outpouring of Your Spirit, oh God, in days gone by. But yet we look forward to the moving and the stirring, oh God, of the Spirit. And I know, God, that You still have blessings. I know, God, that You still have so much more for this church and for the people of God here at Thomasville. Now, Lord, I pray Your blessings over them. I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit overshadow them. Lord, I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob give you peace today. Father, we thank You for it, and we give You glory for it. In Jesus' name. As you go throughout your week this week, every day, think of His greatness. Amen? Think about how good God's been to you, and give Him praise and give Him honor and give Him thanksgiving. God bless you as you go. Hopefully,